The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Always hate for that to end. It's just so fun. We have to turn this into a social hour. So yeah. Our call to worship this morning is a quote from Lisa Schroeder's book, Chasing Brooklyn. The beautiful thing is music can be like a time machine. One song, the lyrics, the melody, the mood, can take you back to a moment in time like nothing else can.
The chalice lighting this morning is called Let the Chalice Connect Us by Catherine Callahan. As the chalice is lit, let us come together into the sacred space we have created. Let the cares of the day fall away, and know that here is a place for quiet reflection, for a pause in our lives, for breathing into our true selves. Let what is said and felt here add richness to the dimensions of our lives and spiritual practices. We are strong together in community. We share the experience of being human. Let the warmth of the chalice lit during our time together connect us and carry us into the world.
I'd like to start with just a brief meditation today. So if you're comfortable, I'd like for you to close your eyes and join with us in this meditation. Make yourself comfortable where you're seating, kind of push back a little bit, get into a neutral posture, maybe feet on the floor, back straight but relaxed, head and neck aligned over the spine, arms resting on your legs or in your lap. Take a slow in-breath, filling your lungs. Hold for a few seconds and then slowly exhale. Relax, breathe in, hold, breathe out. So repeat that a few times. I'd like you to remember, I'm going to mention a couple of scenarios, and I'd like for you just to take one of those and enter into the memory. Allow yourself to be transported back and be there in that moment again. Think of either a time in your life where you felt full of joy, or a time that was extremely challenging for you, or someone that you love deeply but is no longer with us. Let yourself go back to that time. Allow the memory just to kind of come back into your body. Notice your sensory memory. What do you see? Notice the lighting, the colors, the background, any movement. Who is there? What is around you? What do you see? What do you smell? Is it fresh or musty, tangy or distinct? Just kind of let yourself remember the smell. What do you feel? Can you feel anything on your skin? Are you touching something? What is the texture? Is it sharp? Smooth, rough, hot, cold? Can you taste it? Is it sweet, savory, bitter, salty, sour? Some combination of those. And what do you hear? Do you hear voices, music, sounds? So just stay in this memory for a moment more. Breathe in, breathe out, and experience it. Okay, let's come back, open your eyes, return to the present. How was that? What was the most powerful sensation for you? I'm gonna maybe just like take a quick informal poll with a show of hands. For which of you was it sight or vision? Mike? How about smell? Smells that came back. Taste. Did you taste the memory? Okay. Touch. Was there a feeling or a sensation, physical sensation? How about sound? Did the sounds come back? Good. We'll continue that in just a minute. Thank you. Again, I'm mystified by the way memory works, how our brains and bodies store and retrieve past events. As someone who spent a career working in the technology field, I used to imagine that the brain was like a big computer. It stored memories like files on a hard drive. They were indexed with thumbnails. And when we wanted to retrieve something, we would, go down to long-term memory and bring it back up into working memory on command. The excellent Pixar movie Inside Out provides a really vivid illustration of this. Your primary feelings are up in headquarters. They're attaching emotional significance to the events of the day as they happen. They curate the core memories and send off the day's events down to the catacombs of long-term memory where they're stored. And then memory workers come by periodically with a hose, right, and suck off the old memories and send them off to the memory dump. So like any model, that's helpful, but it's not actually how memory does work. So quoting here from an article in Forbes, each memory doesn't exist in a specific location, but is a branching network of neurons. More precisely, each memory is stored or encoded as a pattern of synapses, like tiny gaps between brain cells. An adult brain has 86 billion neurons, each with about 1,000 synapses. So that's roughly 100 trillion synapses in your own brain. The pattern of nerve impulses across the cerebral cortex creates the physical trace of a memory, or what scientists call an engram. These synaptic connections between neurons only leave a physical trace during storage or recall. Every time a memory is accessed, its bits are pieced back together, and so instead of retrieval, it's more accurate to describe recall as recollection. Part of what gets stored in these synaptic connections are the sensations associated with the memory. The familiar five of sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell, as well as proprioception, which is that sense that perceives the location or movement and action of different parts of the body. And that was the intent of the meditation, was to kind of access that and feel those different senses once again. So any of these senses might serve as a trigger to recall a memory. Maybe it's a whiff of turnip greens that places you back in your grandmother's kitchen 50 years ago. Or maybe it's a sip of bourbon that places you back in the bleachers at a college football game when you were young. Or maybe driving through a neighborhood that you haven't been to in years and seeing familiar buildings or storefronts that trigger a memory. Or maybe you hear a familiar song, and you find yourself instantly transported to another time or place. Perhaps it's something that came on the car radio when a few chords from an oldie but goodie suddenly triggered a specific high school or college memory. Or you're walking through a store and over the speakers you hear, that song that reminds you of a special relationship, or a trip to the beach, or a challenging time in your life. Or maybe, you know, now in our streaming world, maybe Spotify or YouTube recommends a song that you were listening to 5 years ago, and you find yourself re-experiencing the emotions of that moment. For me, music, and more specifically songs, are the most powerful memory trigger for me. And even though I can't play an instrument and I cannot sing in key, you just see me moving my lips here to the hymnal. For my entire life, I've been listening to music on the radio, on 78s and 8-tracks. You know, we've got some people here that can remember that far back. On 45s and albums and cassettes and CDs and MP3s and live concerts and now in streaming. I'm almost always listening to music, even at work, where due to my tinnitus, I play Spotify to cancel out the constant ringing so I can focus. In a study published in the journal Behavioral Brain Research, so okay, full disclosure here, in the summary of an abstract of a study that was published in Behavioral Brain Research, neuroscientists using MRI imaging studied how music listening is linked to autobiographical memories. Their results showed that memory formation and recall is attentional and is directly related to the perceptual processing involving something called the salience network, instead of the natural way of remembering typically associated with the default mode network. So this salience network involves multiple regions of the brain, and it integrates sensory, emotional, and cognitive information. If I understand their conclusion correctly, there's a more powerful connection created when music listening is associated with the memory than during just regular cognitive memory formation through the default mode network, which is the way you memorize facts and other bits of data. It sure seems to be the case for me. Certain songs, their melodies, song structure, instrumentation, lyrics, vocals really resonate with me. They reflect and articulate my emotions, capturing what I'm feeling in a way that I'm not able to express through my own words alone, whether it's journaling or in conversations with friends. Some songs trigger waves of frisson, that, you know, tingly sensation that kind of goes down your back or down your arms, and it's generally associated with some kind of transcendent experience. You feel something or you hear something and you just get those tingles. Other songs move me to tears or make me smile, boost my energy, or cause me to sit up a little straighter. There's a spiritual aspect to this as well. Special songs make me feel deep connection to the artist, to place, to time, to a shared community experience. And the emotion, those sensations, are integrated now with my memories through the song. So my father was in the military and my family moved a lot when I was young. So many songs became associated with very specific times and places in my life. As I've grown older, I've continued to subconsciously tag songs to the events, relationships, jobs, or emotions that I was feeling at that time. Some examples, so the song Seasons in the Sun places me back in 1974. I'm sitting in the car with my dad as we're on the way to ROTC camp when he was a professor at the University of Georgia. Green Grass and High Tides on an 8-track, no less. Yes, stand that in the back. It's cruising with friends in high school. Celebration, Cool and the Gang. That puts me back in spring break with college friends. We're in Daytona Beach and I can see the scene vividly in my mind. The B-52 song Rome is I'm holding my toddler son. Yes, another one. We're at a neighborhood block party, and again, when I hear that song, I'm transported back with my son on my hip and just the great sense of connection and emotion in that neighborhood. Or something like Hurt, the Johnny Cash version. I can remember seeing that song and hearing it, or seeing the video, right, and hearing that song for the first time, and I'm getting, you know, my goosebumps once again, moved to tears. So my music listening journey really took off during adolescence, when I formed both my primary musical tastes and what has become a lifelong desire to explore new artists and go deep on certain genres. My middle school best friend Jay introduced me to albums, not just songs from the radio, and I began buying them. I started out with greatest hits collections because, you know, that's the best bang for the buck, right? right? So the Beatles 67 to 70, the blue one, was my very first album purchase. Then came Elton John's greatest hits, Changes, When Bowie, Neil Young's Decade. So I got into those, you know, popular cuts by artists, but I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to get more music. So I joined several mail order music clubs. Y'all remember those? Spending hours kind of thumbing through the catalog, right? Deciding on the 11 albums that you would get for just one penny. Okay. Plus shipping and handling and the obligation to buy 8 albums at list price over the next 3 years, right? Yeah. So during high school and college, I would borrow friends' records and make cassette tapes of their music so they didn't have to go out and buy my own. Or occasionally sample mixtapes. I discovered used record stores like Wuxtry's and Druid Hills, where I could find cutouts and promo LPs for just a dollar or two. Listening to college radio to hear deeper cuts and stuff that would never get commercial airplay. Cutting through the 3rd Street Tunnel under I-75 to go see bands at the 688 Club or the Agora Ballroom in the Fox Theater. It continued after college as well into the transition to CDs. When, yes, I owned a 5-disc CD changer, so you could rotate them through. See some nods again. With the rise of digital music, I began ripping songs to CDs as a way to exchange music with distant friends. In 2001, my college friend Doug sent me a 17-song CD, a collection that captured his emotional state as he turned 41, at a pivotal stage of life for him, career, spiritual, and family. That started me on the process of creating my own time capsules of favorite songs, playlists that I could both listen to myself as well as share with others. I started slowly in the mid-2000s with iTunes and CD sampler playlists of alternative Christian music. I was in an evangelical church that had a contemporary service, and I found that most of the contemporary worship music just didn't click with me. It was kind of cheesy. One of the singers called it Jesus is My Boyfriend songs, right? So I made my own. So I had a playlist called Ouch. It was composed of songs of pain, remorse, separation from God. They were songs when I felt like I needed to repent and be forgiven. Worship and Rejoice were two playlists that I made that included both Christian as well as popular music, songs that soared and made me feel closer to God. So every 10 years or so, I have a major existential crisis. So the one that occurred when I was right around 50, I created a 50-song playlist that was just a collection of my favorite songs from really the decades prior to that. All of that mostly came from my iTunes library, so it was music that I owned at the time. And I called it I'm in a State. And it was really a reflection of, you know, there were songs that just kind of captured different moods, different emotions at the time. To make it more manageable, I split it into 2 25-song chunks, organized alphabetically by artist, and the template was established. The following year, after getting a batch of new music on CDs from Jay, I made another state, which included artists from what I now call the Lost Decade, where the busyness and financial constraints of raising a young family limited my listening during the 1990s. If I didn't hear it on 99X while commuting to work, it didn't exist. That year, the year after that, brought 3 more playlists, still limited to what I had purchased on iTunes or been shared with me by friends with more extensive digital music collections. Then in 2015, Spotify entered my life. After overcoming my resistance to the concept of renting rather than owning music, I found not only a limitless library of artists and their catalogs, but also algorithms that would recommend other songs based on what I was listening to. So the magic of these algorithms is they're not just looking at the artists and recommending more of the same. They take these subtle attributes like valence or loudness, danceability, beats per minute, popularity to expand and diversify the selections and recommendations they make. It's like having a friend who says, hey, listen to this new band. I think you'll like them. And they're always right. So over the past 8 years, I've made more than 75 of these timestamp playlists, what I call now my states, as an homage to the original I'm in a State. Throughout the month, when I'm listening to Spotify or going to see live shows, someone recommends a song to me, or I Shazam a snippet of a song that's in a commercial or in a restaurant where I'm dining, I'll take that and I'll add it to just kind of a working playlist for the month. the end of the month, I usually have about 25 or 30 songs, which is a little bit under 2 hours of music, and I'll curate it. Usually what initially grabbed me with a song and it got me to put it on the list was the music. But when I'm curating, I'll study the lyrics a little bit more closely, and it's uncanny that what the lyrics typically have to say about what's going on at that time in my life. So there's a story here, and then my job is to kind of just organize the playlist so the story flows out, and so you don't have these jarring transitions between a soft acoustic number and then a very loud rock song. Usually there's one song of the ones that I've captured for the month that really captures the mood, the emotion, the theme for that month, and that song becomes the title. It's the linchpin of it. Then I save the playlist in my library, and I share it with a few friends who know me well and have similar tastes in music, and it's just a fun process to go through. About 5 years ago, I began adding song notes for each playlist, where I would take some nuggets about the artist or track, how I came across it, what I liked, where I saw that band, etc. And these songs generally help me remember the context so that when I hear the song again or I play that playlist again in the future, I can see the details that I might have forgotten. So when I go back and listen, I remember that time. I'm transported. Some songs are forgettable, and I find myself wondering, why did I put that on this playlist? But usually, the prevailing experience is that I'm reliving it. I'm reliving those emotions. I'm feeling it again. I used to wonder what a good psychologist would think if they could listen to my playlist and then talk to me. I got a little taste of that a couple years ago when a really good friend from college who I'd not talked to in over 20 years sent me a message on LinkedIn. He said, "Hey, I hope you don't mind, but I've been listening to your playlists on Spotify." He said, "Sounds like there's a lot going on in your life. Me too. We should get together." Reconnection. As I was writing this sermon, I listened through my playlist from the past year. Across those songs are the death of a beloved pet, the turmoil of a job loss, the end of a marriage, the joy and exhilaration of new relationships and new discoveries. I recall and I recollect those memories, feeling the emotions, the doubt, the hope, the energy. They complement the journaling and photos from that same period in my life to give me a rich, full, sensory, and spiritual experience of my year. The result is a soundtrack to that particular season of my life, and everything is better when accompanied by music.
In an effort to fulfill and further the vision and mission of this congregation, we ask our members and friends to share their time, treasure, and talents. And with this, we will now gratefully receive the offering, you passing the basket, and you may also give using the Givelify app.
Thank you.
your bulletin, would you please join me in extinguishing the chalice? We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
I'll close us out with a quote from music journalist and author Rob Sheffield. The times you lived through, the people you shared those times with, nothing brings it all to life like an old mixtape. It does a better job of storing up memories than actual brain tissue can do. Every mixtape tells a story. Put them together and they can add up to the story of a life. Go in peace and have a great day.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.